I want to turn to a passage. We've been in Hebrews for a while. We're going to stay on in Hebrews, but it's Pentecost, and I wanted to talk a little bit about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. As John the Baptist described what was coming when on the day that Jesus was baptized, he had predicted that Jesus would have another kind of baptism different than John's baptism. I want to read that passage. It's Matthew chapter 3, verse 11 through 16. There's what John said, John the Baptist. He said, "I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me will come one who is more powerful than I am, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Jesus replied, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us to do this, to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. Father God, just bless this word that we're reading right now. I pray, Father God, that you'll teach us something about the Holy Spirit, perhaps that we haven't thought of before, and that we might go away from this church service today with a new vision of what you're doing in our lives and why we go through some of the things we go through. We ask, Lord God, that you bless us this time, and may we use these things throughout our lives and throughout this week especially. We pray in Jesus' name. Well, this baptism that was predicted by John is the baptism that Jesus brought, and that's Pentecost. It happened on the day of Pentecost. Now, some say that John was talking about a dual baptism, and what I mean by that, he was saying, Jesus is coming to baptize with the Holy Spirit and fire, and they say he was going to baptize believers with the Holy Spirit, and he was going to baptize unbelievers with fire, hellfire, you know. Well, in looking at the passage, just look what it says. I can't agree with that, because here's what it says in the passage. Here's what John is talking to these people, and he says, "I baptize you." And remember, he's baptizing people who are repenting of their sins. He says, "I baptize you with water for repentance." Then he continues and he says, "He, the Messiah, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." So he's going to baptize the ones who are the repentant people with Holy Spirit and fire. And what I believe about that is that the Holy Spirit is that fire, or at least he's accompanied by fire, because when he came at the day of Pentecost, there were tongues of fire that set over the heads of the, they hovered above the heads of the disciples. And the Spirit baptism is important because Jesus himself, when he came for that baptism, John, who was doing this baptizing of water for repentance, said, "Wait a minute. You're coming to me for baptism? I need to be baptized by you with what I've been talking about. You've got the baptism that I need. I've already got the one about repentance. I need the one that you're bringing." And so this baptism is very, very important. But at the same time, you may wonder, well, if that's what the important baptism is coming, why do we still have water baptism? Why is that still in existence? Because Jesus said, and this was because John asked him that question, and he said, "I need to be baptized by you." And we may have that question, but Jesus answers that question by his response to John. He says, "It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." And Jesus himself underwent that water baptism. So why is water baptism important? I want to talk about that first because it's preliminary. It comes before the other baptisms. Now, John's baptism was a complete washing is what it was. It was a complete washing. In fact, from historical resources, the only ones we have where this idea of baptism came from, it was older than John the Baptist. It was a Jewish ritual of entirely naked washing. You couldn't even have a hairpin in your hair if you were a woman and you had brooches or what. You had to take them off so that you were completely immersed in water. So it was baptism by immersion. And when you came up out of the water, it was symbolic that you were as innocent as Adam and Eve in the garden. You were totally restored. You were thoroughly cleansed. The repentance and the washing had done its work. And that's what was symbolic of. In fact, the early church kept that practice up of naked baptisms for 300 years, and people don't realize it today, but it's in the history books. Now, John's baptism was a complete washing because the repentance was complete. It was a coming clean with God. They came, it says, confessing their sins. Now, others came who were not confessing their sins. And look what John says to these people. Now, the people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. This is a couple verses before our passage. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham." Anyway, these stones are just as good as you are. You're not repentant. You don't have any fruits of repentance. Why are you coming to this baptismal service? That's what he was saying to the Sadducees and Pharisees. And many times, people do trust. We have Abraham as our father. I have a minister. My grandfather was a minister, or something like that. That doesn't really get you a ticket to heaven. That doesn't establish your relationship with God. The relationship you have with God is directly established through repentance, and it's especially established as we repent from past sins and place our faith in Jesus Christ and have a relationship with Him. But this water baptism that was happening then has lasting importance. It didn't go away with John. In fact, it says that Jesus made it a part of his ministry. In John chapter 4, it says the Pharisees heard that Jesus was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it was not Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. In other words, he told his disciples baptizing people in water. Now, what does this mean? If Jesus made it a priority in his ministry, this means if you're not baptized, you need to get baptized. It's not just your faith. You need to take that step to proclaim your faith through baptism. So that's why it's important. So how does it work to fulfill all righteousness? That's an important point. Because if it's preliminary, and if Jesus did it before he was anointed with the Holy Spirit, then why is it important for us to fulfill all righteousness by this water baptism? Well, why did Jesus do it? Now, Jesus did not need to repent, did he? He wasn't repenting, but he was doing something that identified him with what repentance was about. Now, the word repentance, it's the word you heard it before probably, called metanoia, change of mind. Change of mind. You had to change your mind from the way that you were thinking to get your mind in line with the way that God was thinking. So it was a change of mind. And what Jesus was doing by his baptism, he was aligning himself publicly, making a public statement that I am in line with the mind of God, and I am on the side of the kingdom. And that's what it really was. It was an identification that you are not participating in the world's thinking, you are going to participate in line with God's thinking, and you're making a public declaration of that. These were public baptisms. They were out in the open. People could see what was going on. They knew who got baptized. In fact, in some countries, it's very dangerous to be baptized because they go down to these rivers and are baptized. And if there's anybody seeing it and they report them, they can get into trouble many times, especially if they're in a Muslim country and someone says, he's a Muslim, he's being baptized, that's against the law, and they can actually be killed and executed in some countries. Well, how does it work? It is a public statement that we are choosing God's will. We are choosing God's reign, his kingdom reign, in our lives. So it's a public statement. But it's also this. And this is what it was for Jesus as well. It's a preparation for ministry. It's a preparation for service. And only after water baptism did Jesus receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, as it says in this passage. When I'm in the hospital, I'm called upon, because everybody knows I'm a minister, I'm called upon to baptize infants who are stillborn. And when I do, I make a special point to talk to the parents, and I say, this baptism that I'm doing is not to wash away sins. This baptism is like the baptism that Jesus had. He was being baptized to inaugurate his ministry. He was aligning himself with God's thinking, and he was saying, I am going to serve the Lord. I'm going to serve, I'm going to be a servant, a minister. And that's what he was, and then the Holy Spirit came to anoint him for that ministry. So I say, Jesus was anointed by the Holy Spirit after his water baptism to serve on earth. Your little one, we are baptizing to inaugurate his or her service in heaven. And let me tell you, that gives parents a lot of comfort. And I believe it's true, not just comforting, but true, that we are getting them ready and giving our, especially parents who are desiring this, they are giving their send-off. We are sending you off with a baptism to get you ready for ministry. And may you be anointed with the Holy Spirit as you minister in heaven. Who knows what they'll be doing? Well, we'll find out when we get there. But anyway, Christian faith is not about selfishness. It's not about, I just want to get to heaven. I just want to make sure everything's fine with me. You know, that's not what it's about. That's why it doesn't stop with just repentance. I want my relationship with God to be right, so I repent. But it doesn't stop there. It's not about a selfish viewpoint. It's about a serving viewpoint. That we are here and we are anointed by the Holy Spirit in this baptism that Jesus brought to serve others, to minister to others. And that's why I am not supposed to be the minister. I'm supposed to be an equipper of ministers. And you are the minister. And me as well. Well, this repentance that is talked about in water baptism is not a past attitude. It's not just a past attitude that I did it once, I repented, I had a baptism. It's not just a past attitude in the Christian mind. It has to be an ongoing platform for Christian living. And how that happens is through this other baptism that Jesus brings. The Holy Spirit transforms our kingdom thinking into kingdom living. You see, we can have the kingdom thinking because we've made a choice and we've repented and we say, I'm aligning my thoughts with God's thoughts. But thoughts are thoughts. And what needs to happen with thoughts, they need to be lived out. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit to help us live that out. And John the Baptist, in a special way here, now, there are many aspects of the Holy Spirit, but in a very special way, John the Baptist, being a prophet that he was, he showed a special way that Jesus baptizes so that we will live out that repentance in a living way. And so we're going to look at that kind of baptism. And that's why I've entitled this message, The Baptism Jesus Brought. And we're going to recognize why this spirit baptism is even more important. It's not that it excludes water baptism. It's even more important than water baptism. It's almost like water baptism in repentance is a preparation for this other baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this baptism, the kind of baptism that Jesus brought through the Holy Spirit, is a separating baptism. Now, the word separate, or the word set apart, is the word in the Bible, both in the Greek and in the Hebrew, for the word holy. And that's why when we say, how do we get to be holy? Well, the Holy Spirit makes us holy, and part of that holiness is the separation. And he says this by saying, Jesus has a winnowing fork in his hand. A winnowing fork. Now, in the American Heritage Dictionary, which I'm always quoting from, and I tell you why I quote from it so much, it's a good dictionary, but I've also got it on computer, so I can just take it and place it in the sermon. Very nice. Here's what it says. Now listen. Here's what it says. Winnowing means to separate the chaff from grain by means of a current of air, to rid of undesirable parts, to blow chaff off or away. And Jesus wants to baptize us, and the word baptism means to immerse. Jesus wants to immerse us into the wind of the Holy Spirit to blow away the chaff. Now, it's almost like the winnowing fork that was used in those days was almost like, I guess it would probably look like a rake, one of those kind of leaf rakes that come out like this that are pretty close together, where you can take the wheat and toss it up in the air as the wind is blowing, so it can blow the chaff away. And so this is why we need to have the undesirable part blown away, right? The chaff, the things that are not, that are worthless or harmless, things that cling to our lives, even as Christians, or maybe things that we cling to. The Holy Spirit is the wind that when Jesus takes us and throws us up into that wind, immerses us in that wind, those undesirable parts, those harmful things, or those worthless things, are blown away. He doesn't want to blow us away. You know, like that term, that blew me away, you know. He doesn't want to blow us away. He wants to save us. But he wants to get us separated from the things that defile, from the things that harm us, from the things that are not worthy of our lives as Christians. Well, repentance is an attitude that we have as we enter the kingdom. Through repentance, we enter the kingdom. But we don't see our own faults sometimes. Even if we've had a good attitude of repentance, we enter the kingdom, but we do not see our faults as others see us sometimes. Well, the Holy Spirit sees faults that others miss. He sees other things. And so he wants us, as we say, wind, blow on me, wind, set me free. Set me free from those things. It can be a wonderful prayer, that song that we sing during the Pentecost season a lot. Wind, blow on me. It's a catchy tune. Pray it. Pray it as a prayer to allow this winnowing process to happen. This is also a cleansing baptism. It says in the passage here, he will clear his threshing floor. What is that? Over stack and serve. Okay. He will clear his threshing floor. Now that's in the King James Version. He puts it a little bit different. He says, he will thoroughly clean out. He will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor. Now, in the Old Testament, the threshing floor was not a barn. When I used to think of it, I thought, the threshing floor must be the inside of a barn. But no, that's not how it would work. It was outside. Why? You needed the wind. And it had to be a level place, open to the wind. John the Baptist's baptism was a leveling process. And I'll show you how it was a leveling process It was to try to get things on a level so that the wind could blow away everything and thoroughly cleanse the threshing floor. The prophecy about John in Isaiah, the prophet, here's what it says. This is the voice of one crying in the wilderness. This is John. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley will be raised up. Every mountain and hill will be made low. The rough ground shall become level. The rugged places a plain. Becoming a threshing floor, a level area that the wind can blow on. You see, we come to the Lord many times with a lot of pride. We have haughty things that need to be brought low. Repentance is a work that brings those things low. Now, there's another subtle thing that we have many times in our lives that we don't recognize, and sometimes it can fool us very easily, and that is a false humility. And that is like a valley. And we try to hide in that valley. Oh, I couldn't do that kind of service because I'm so weak, and I just couldn't do that. You know? And it's like we hide down there, and really what we're hiding from, we're hiding from trusting the Lord. And so repentance means not just for the proud things to come down low, but the false low things where we hide to come up to level, so that stuff can be blown away by the Holy Spirit too, by the wind. So when this leveling process happens, we are fully exposed. Not only the things where we're sort of hiding in a false humility or a false lowliness, but also the haughty things. And sometimes we think, I'm so high, God can't see that. I mean, He can't see the things bad in me, can He? You know? Well, repentance brings us down to the level. The wind level, the level where we can have those things blown away. Well, it's also a preserving baptism. It says in here, gathering his wheat into the barn. You know, when I try to unclutter, and I have Rosemary here to help validate this, because we both have the same problem. When I try to unclutter our house, or my room, or my desk, or anything else, I have such a hard time trying to find out what to save and what to throw away. Right? Do you have that problem sometimes? And after you say, well, I'm trying to unclutter, and you've gone through the whole stuff, you look and you say, I still got it. I didn't unclutter at all. Why do I still have it? I just moved it to a new location. I put it in a brown bag, and I put the... That happens at our house. But what the Holy Spirit does, He just wants to gather wheat. He doesn't want any chaff. He really wants to get rid of the chaff, and He wants to gather wheat. And when we are on our own, we end up recluttering ourselves or holding on to stuff that we don't need to save, don't need to keep in our lives. The Holy Spirit and the baptism in the Holy Spirit opens our eyes and helps us to see things in God's light, the proper light. And then we can make a decision. I really, really don't need that, do I? It's the Holy Spirit that helps us to do that. Then it's also, finally, and this is how it's all resolved, it's a purging or a purifying, or as you say, a purging baptism. It just purifies. It's, what is the word refined? Like a refiner's fire. Well, that comes from the verse, burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, that's what makes people think about hellfire. It says unquenchable fire. But I'd like to just look at this, and it's also in Hebrews. We'll probably be talking about it later as we go through Hebrews. But our God, in Hebrews chapter 12, our God is a consuming fire. Do you think that fire will ever go out? It is an unquenchable fire. It is God. He is a consuming fire. And what does it mean, consuming fire? Well, first of all, and I know we didn't do this, Betty, but that's okay. Because right underneath here is red, It's Pentecost Sunday, isn't it? Well, next Sunday, I know, we'll have the two colors turned over. It is Pentecost Sunday. It is Whitsuntide. And we are going to have red for quite a long period until we hit the kingdom tide and have green. We're going to have red because it's symbolic of fire. And on the symbols that are on these pyramids, it does have the Holy Spirit descent and fire because it's symbolic of the purifying fire of the Holy Spirit who purges and refines and gets rid of the dross, gets rid of the alloy so that there is pure metal. And this is often symbolic. Our faith may be sincere, but often it needs to be purged of elements that are foreign to the kingdom of God. Just like you purge gold or silver in the fire to get rid of elements that are not part of gold or not part of silver. They're foreign to those metals, and you want the pure metal. The Holy Spirit is pure, Holy Spirit, and He wants our lives to be pure in Christ. So we have this baptism, which is a separating baptism, a cleansing baptism, a preserving baptism, and a purging baptism. It's a baptism of repentance that establishes this proper thinking. But this proper thinking must be brought by the baptism of Jesus into a transformed thinking, into a transformed living, so that our transformation in thinking becomes a transformation in life. And that the life we live before people is a life of repentance, not just in thought, but a new mind and a new behavior, a new way of living, not just in thought, but in deed. And we need to pray for this baptism, and we need to be open to it. Just as I'm going to close with this stanza from Amy Carmichael. I read to my dad Amy Carmichael's poetry. I'm working through her book of poetry, and she's hard to read sometimes, and I've only chosen one stanza. But I was reading it the past week, and it was a prayer. And it goes along with this passage, and listen to what she prays. This is the prayer that we need to pray. The poem is called Make Pure. Lord, more and more I pray, whether by wind or fire, make pure my inmost heart's desire and purge the clinging chaff from off the floor. Doesn't that fit this passage? I'm going to read it one more time. And let's all bow our heads and let's pray it as I read it. Lord, more and more I pray, whether by wind or fire, make pure my inmost heart's desire and purge the clinging chaff from off the floor. Father God, we are thankful for the traditions in the church, the rituals, communion and baptism. But Lord, there's another baptism that we have to have as an ongoing baptism in our lives, and that is the baptism that Jesus brought. Lord, we need to be cleansed. We need, Lord, to be separate from the things that cling to us or that we cling to that are worthless and harmful to our Christian lives. Lord, we need to be preserved, and there are other things in our lives that need to be thrown out. We need to be purged. And Lord, sometimes we don't know how to do it. We need you to help us. So we pray, purge this presence, Lord, with your winnowing force through the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen.